Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. That's where we're going to be launching from this morning. Today's message is a continuation of last week, second message in the series, The Identity of a Believer. I believe we all need to understand what God says about us, who we are in His eyes, who we are according to His Word. So the identity of the believer is so very, very important. So let's pray, and then we'll jump into this. Father, we love You. We thank You for the opportunity You've given us this morning. Father, we ask Your anointing, because Father, without it, Lord, we stumble and fall. We cannot do it in our own education. We cannot do it in our own experience, Lord. We need the power, the life from the Spirit of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 6, let's read starting at beginning at verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Last week, we talked so much about the identity of a believer, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. But folks, we can't just stop there, because God says, yes, you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, but you're more than that. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to go over some of the things we talked about last week, but I want you all to understand that God intends for us to be warriors. He intends for us to be fighters. Sons and daughters, yes, but more than that. More than sons and daughters, He wants us to be conquerors. We, in the church today, I think have paid a very enormous price for people not knowing their identity in Jesus Christ. Because the fact of the matter is this, we are at war. I can't say it any clearer than that. I'm not talking about some global conflict that we're fighting with weaponry like tanks and missiles and things. Folks, we are in a spiritual war. Listen to me. Satan hates your guts. He hates you. He hates you. And he is waging a war against you, your family, your job, your finances, your health, and the list goes on and on. He does not give up. He does not give in. He constantly wages this war against you. And so what we've got to understand is these promises that God has given us. He says, you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. But folks, I got to tell you, we're also warriors for Christ. Able to defeat the enemy, because what does the Bible say? Greater is He that is in me than is he that is in the world. The Bible says the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, it dwells inside of me. So we've got to understand that God is moving us from this identity of just being His son, just being His daughter, to being a warrior for Him, for Jesus Christ. Amen? So step number one, last week we talked about this. We got to know who we are in Christ. We're sons of God. We are warriors for God. We have to know that that is who we are, but we also have to know that we must live it. We've got to live it. We've got to know the potential that God has put in His Word for each one of us. I mean, not just live in the potential, but to also live in the reality of that power. Because I can tell you, you're a son of God all day long, but you may never take advantage of the benefits of being the son of the Most High God. You see, that's the potential. I say, man, you're a son of God. You've accepted Jesus Christ. You've had a John chapter 3 experience in your life. You're born again. So the potential lies there. But you may go through life living in total abject poverty, and God wants you to be blessed till you're overflowing. Are y'all understanding? There's potential there. So you got to know the potential. You got to know that you're a warrior. But you may never pick up a weapon to fight. See, not only do we have to know the potential, but we've got to know the reality of it. That I am a son of God, and I'm going to live that out in my life. I am a warrior for Jesus Christ. I'm going to live that out in my life. I got to tell you that the first time, I mean, you know, whenever you look back at your life, there are certain things that just stand out, you know, like the birth of your child, you know, your wedding, things like that. And you know, something that just stands out in my life that just is there. Recently, I went back to New Mexico, visit my mom, and I was very close to where this whole thing actually took place. But I remember the first time that I ever set off a stick of dynamite. I'm telling you, man. You know, it was just unassuming. It was this little thing. I mean, the thing went probably 10 inches long, maybe an inch in diameter at the most. And we had fuses that you light. You know, these were cool fuses. And we armed that thing with a blasting cap, and we lit that fuse. It was about 2 foot long, and the thing was real slow-burning fuse. And we ran like crazy because we thought, man, this is going to be just a ginormous firecracker, because we'd set up firecrackers all of our life. I'm going to tell you something, folks. A stick of dynamite is not a ginormous firecracker. I'm telling you, it goes into a realm all of its own. I mean, we're standing back, and we're waiting, man. Boom! It goes off. And I mean, me and my friends, we looked at each other going, man, that was fantastic! And so we lit another one and another one, and oh, we had fun that day. Are y'all understanding? This is one of those memories that just comes to me and it just takes over. But you see, that stick of dynamite, until I lit it and understood the reality of its power. You see, this morning we're sitting here and we're going, oh yeah, I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of God, oh yeah, Pastor Sam, I'm a warrior. Folks, we don't understand the enormity of the power that God has put inside of us. We don't understand the enormity of the blessing that God wants to bring to our lives as His sons and His daughters. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Whenever we get to heaven, we're going to be treated like first-class citizens. Are y'all there with me? We're going to get there and we're going to realize that we have walked into the King of Kings' kingdom. And He is going to treat us like His children. Ain't going to be nobody off in the corner sucking their thumb. Are you here with me? I mean, we are going to be blessed upon blessed upon blessed upon blessed. So we got to know the reality of it. Yes, I'm a son of God. Yes, I'm a warrior. But folks, we got to know that power that comes with that. I'm skipping. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm just telling you, folks, that I'm tired of casualties. There's just so many casualties. There's so many people. There's just so many people that just get wound up in the enemy. And the enemy just takes advantage of them. And he tears their families apart. He tears their health apart. He tears their minds apart. Are y'all there with me? I'm just tired of that. Knowing that the potential, the power that lies within us is the power to defeat the enemy and all of his schemes. He does not have any power over us. Christ Jesus, He went to the right hand of the Father and He said, this power, I'm giving it to you. Ha, whoo, somebody should have said amen. That was a great place to say amen right there. So this morning, as we look at this, we understand that there are ways that the enemy is going to come against us. He's going to come against us in the physical arena, and he's going to come against us in the relationship arena. He's going to come against us in all different kinds of ways. But we have to be able to fight, and we have to be able to win. I mean, whenever you look on TV and you see these people that are boxers or wrestlers or whatever that might be, you know, their coaches do not teach them to lose. Their coaches don't get it. Okay, understand this. This is the way you lose. This is the way you get your head knocked off right here. Okay, that doesn't happen. They teach them to win. And so this morning, that's what I want to do in these next few minutes, is I want to give you ways that whenever you walk into this warfare and you say, listen, I am tired of the enemy messing with my family. I'm tired of the enemy messing with my sleep at night. I'm tired of the enemy messing with my health. I'm tired of the enemy taking advantage of my kids. Are y'all there with me? I mean, sometimes, you know, we just come to a place where we have had enough. And that's whenever the kids scatter, you know. See, there comes a time whenever you'd say, listen, I'm tired of living the way I've been living. The enemy has come against my finance over and over and over again. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the enemy coming against this church, coming against this ministry, coming against the people of this church. Are y'all there? But we have the potential inside of us to kick his tail. I'm just waiting. Some of y'all, wait a minute. Pastor said we could kick his tail. Yeah. You see, Jesus has set us up so as that you and I can defeat the devil anytime he comes against us. The devil is a defeated foe. He's got this enormous bark, like the bark of a mean, vicious dog. But really, he's like a Pomeranian that lost his teeth in a cat fight. Y'all there? Now, please don't misunderstand me. The devil's got power. He's got enormous power. But our power trumps his. Okay? So, this is the way to defeat the enemy. This is the way whenever you determine that you're going to do whatever it takes to win, these are some things you need to know. First and foremost, number one is this. You need to be prepared. You need to be prepared. Before you go out and fight, be sure that you are covered. Before you go out and start mouthing off to the devil, make sure that you're ready to fight and you're ready to win. I had a friend who grew up in with his father owning a grocery store, and he said he worked there, you know, from the time he was a little bitty kid until he finally left home. And his dad was a strong man. Let's just say that. So, you know, he was used to following orders from this strong man. Are y'all there? Whenever he got to be about 16, 17 years old, he said one day that he was feeling, you know, like most 16, 17-year-old young men feel, you know. The dad's kind of old, senile, you know, even though he's only 40. So his dad gave him an order, and he said he was down on the shelf, you know, stocking groceries, and his dad gave him an order, and he said he just didn't like it. So he looked up at his dad, and he smarted off to him, said something, mouthed to him, you know, kind of, you know how kids are. And he said his dad just stood there for a second, and he said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "You're old enough to be whipped like a man." And then he walked away. And my friend said he sat there, and he goes, "Okay, never heard that one before. I'm old enough to be whipped like a man. What does that mean?" Finally went to his dad. He said, "Dad," he said, "whatever you need me to do, I'll do it." "Yes, sir. Amen. Forevermore." Because he just wasn't sure that he wanted to challenge his dad and be whipped like a man. Are y'all there with me? Let me just tell you something. If you go out to fight the enemy and you don't have what you are supposed to have in your life, you're going to come back being whipped. Come on. Because like I said a moment ago, he is a formidable foe. He is the champion of the dark side. And I'm telling you, he can win. Folks, whenever you and I look at, let's just take a bad guy, for example. You remember Goliath? Goliath, they say, was about 3 feet tall. And I'm just seeing if y'all are listening, okay? I know he was almost 4.5 feet tall. No, Goliath is like 9 feet tall. He's this monstrosity of a champion for the Philistines. He's got this ginormous sword, spear. He's got a guy carrying his shield for him. And I mean, he had been trained since the time of, I'm telling you, whenever he used to suck on a bottle, it was in the shape of a spear. You can get those on Amazon. And so I know he used to do it. I mean, they trained him from the time he was little bitty how to fight. He was a fighter whenever he was in kindergarten. He was a fighter whenever he was in third grade. Whenever he was in junior high, man, he was bigger than all the rest of the kids, so he was a supreme fighter. He learned how to fight. He was the champion of the Philistines. For them to come out and make a statement like, "Listen, our champion goes against your champion. If your champion wins, we're your slaves. If our champion wins, we're your slaves." You see, they wouldn't have made a comment like that unless they knew Goliath had been trained. He had the various gear that he needed to have so that he could win the conflict. If you haven't read this already, David killed him with a rock. Well, anyway, are y'all understanding? You see, whenever you look at this champion, you realize how much protection and how much training, what kind of weapons that they need. Because folks, these champions know how to win. Man, just whenever you're boxing, you keep up your defenses. You know, let me box somebody. Somebody small. Never mind. Okay, I can't see anybody that small. I just need a kindergartner or something. But whenever you're boxing somebody, you keep your defenses up. This is something that we've got to get. If you're going to win, you can't be stupid. You got to cover yourself. overconfidence sometimes, because folks, there's every once in a while somebody says, I can win, devil, I can win, I'm going to go out because I'm son of God, God has made me the champion, and they go out, it's this thing called pride, and they get themselves in trouble. You see, it's the cause of so many huge spiritual defeats. Those that are uncovered, those that are unprotected, often damage the most. Now, I'll just tell you about a quick reality in my own life. I grew up as a heathen. I got saved whenever I was 18 years old, and I served under senior pastors. I was a regular church person, and I had a senior pastor that was over my life. Whenever I went into ministry, I still had a senior pastor that was over my life. Whenever I went the various places that God called me, I had a senior pastor over my life. People that literally covered me spiritually. Well, I moved to Montana, and I'm going to just tell you something. I was stupid. Are y'all listening to me? I was stupid. I had no idea what I was walking into. But I became the senior pastor. And now it's my job to cover people that are in my church. I didn't have anybody covering me anymore. Are y'all there with me? And I'm going to tell you something. Satan about kicked the teeth in my head, in my mouth, down my throat. I mean, he came against me in every way you can possibly imagine, because I was not covered. I had always had somebody covering me. Are y'all there with me? I always had somebody covering me. And so I wasn't covered. I was stupid, and it led to spiritual defeats in my life because I was unprotected and I got damaged. You see, the time to get prepared for the battle is now. Right now. Not once the battle is raging, not once it's beginning, but right now. And the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God. This morning, I'd love to be able to go into great detail about the whole armor of God, but trust me, it's coming. The next few months, God is going to lead us through this whole idea of equipping and preparing ourselves with the whole armor of God. There have been many times whenever I've been unprepared, many times whenever I've heard people tell me the story that they're unprepared. And a few years ago, it was one of those commercials on TV. I think it was MasterCard or Visa or something. You remember American Express? Don't leave home without it. And I encourage you this morning, until you put on the whole armor of God, you better not try to go against the enemy. In Jesus' name. To be prepared means to stay in shape. It means to stay trained, to stay disciplined, to study God's word, to develop your spiritual muscles. Folks, if we had an x-ray machine that would actually show you not what they see in Atlanta whenever you go through the x-ray machine, but the x-ray machine that would show you your spiritual person that's on the inside of you, I wonder how many of us would be carrying around a spiritual person on the inside of us that's emaciated, that's all skinny, that's all, you know, looks like, you know, that they haven't eaten in a long time. Because the way that you build up your spiritual man is that you take the word of God on the inside of you. That's why Jesus said, men can't live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He's telling us, guys, we've got to have the word of God. If we're going to wield the spirit, the sword of the Spirit in the way God wants us to, we've got to be strong enough to live that, to lift that thing and to take the enemy apart with it. Got to develop our spiritual muscles. You see, something happens supernaturally whenever Christians learn how to fight. Something begins to happen whenever Christians learn how to fight. Whenever they learn how to do what God has called them to do, they've prepared themselves, something happens. Whenever they study and they learn how to pray, something happens. You see, there's a whole lot less worry whenever you know that you're going to win. Seriously, whenever you absolutely know you're going to win, it's hard to worry. It's easy to grin, though. Come on, church. Come with me on this journey. Some of y'all sitting there, I don't know about this too much. I ain't saying a word. See, the reason we worry is because we think we're going to lose. Oh, this could happen. This horrible thing could happen. See, whenever you stand in the strength and the power of Almighty God and you put on the whole armor of God, I'm telling you, there becomes a confidence that just gets a hold of you. And you say, listen, The enemy is not going to have my kids. The enemy is not going to destroy my marriage. The enemy is not going to have my health. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? You don't sit around and worry about the next time you go to the doctor. Oh, he might say something terrible. Well, even if he does, I'm telling you, God has made a provision to heal our body through the stripes that Jesus took on his back. Are y'all there with me? You see, the defeat of the Roman Empire, the mighty Roman Empire, came whenever the Romans began to hire professionals to fight for them. They got defeated. Whenever Roman soldiers used to go out and they'd fight for the emperor, they were ferocious fighters, and they captured one nation after another nation after another nation until finally they built this massive Roman Empire. But see, whenever the Romans began to hire people to fight for them, whenever the battle got real hard, hired people walked away. And so this is my question for you. Have you hired your pastor to fight for you? Because I'm telling you, that's where I was. I mean, unknowingly, I was there. But my senior pastor covered my life. He covered my family. He prayed for me. He was between me and what the enemy wanted to do to us. Are y'all there? You can't hire me to do it. There's a lot of people that are real big in fantasy football and fantasy basketball, fantasy baseball. They get really excited about the game, but they're never in the game. And this morning, my thing is, we need to get prepared and we need to get in the game. Get prepared and learn to fight and then get in the fight. Because folks, there are some things out there today that I tell you, they are worth fighting for. Number two. Not only do we have to get in the game and be prepared to be in that game, but the second thing, and y'all are going to love this. In fact, whenever I read it, you're going to just probably erupt in praise and claps and all kinds of stuff. Second thing here is you have to be submitted. See, I told you, I knew everybody was going to be excited. One of the greatest secrets of spiritual victory is before you fight, you have to submit your life to the authority of Jesus Christ. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How many of you ever heard that verse before? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How many of you all know that that's not the whole verse? The whole verse starts a little differently than that. Oh, I've heard that before. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. I'm going to tell you something. The devil ain't going to flee from you if you resist him. You can resist him all you want to, and he's not going to flee from you. Because that verse starts out, it says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You see, this is the reason that so many Christians are in defeat. They've not submitted to God. They say all the right words. In fact, folks, we sang a song just a few minutes ago. We sang a song just a few minutes ago, and my mind, knowing what's in my notes, I'm thinking, man, have we really made him Lord of our lives? See, if you're not submitted to God, I tell you this, you're going to get your tail whipped. Because he is our strength. Whenever you submit to Jesus, then you have the right to use his name and use his authority. The story of the Roman centurion in Matthew chapter 8, it says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I'm also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Whenever Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith even in all Israel. So what he's saying is, he says, I found a man not even of the Jewish lineage that understands authority. You see, the greatest faith in the world is not what you say, but what you submit to. He's got to be Lord. If you think you're going to go out and win victories over the devil one by one by one by one, and you are not submitted to Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, you will not win. You will not walk in his authority, because I'm just going to tell you, our authority doesn't mean nothing to the devil. It means zero. Even if you're the biggest bad muscular guy, hair growing out of your ears in every direction, I'm telling you, even if you are the meanest man on the face of the earth, you're nothing compared to Satan. He will take you down every time. Even if you know that jiu-jitsu and that taekwondo and that karate and that kung fu. I love that. Take the rock from my hand, grasshopper. I'm sorry, it was just one of those times. Even if you know all of those crazy ways to defend yourself, Satan's still going to defeat you. You can only defeat him by the power that is in you. The power that Jesus Christ, the resident Savior of the world, puts in you. Folks, we live in a very rebellious world. You know, man, I'm gonna say this, and y'all can just get mad at me if you want to, but I'm just going to tell you, as parents, I think oftentimes we promote our kids to be rebellious. Do you know whenever we let our kids get by with what they want to do instead of what we tell them to do, we are promoting rebellion. Whenever a child's in a store and you tell them, no, you can't have that toy, and so they throw a fit, and you know all of Walmart can hear them. We had a remedy for that when it was in my house. I'm not going to go into great detail, but I'm telling you. My kids didn't act like that because we didn't allow them to act like that. Whenever you allow them to act like that, you are promoting rebellion. I don't have to do what my mom and tell me to. I can scream and holler and I'll finally get my way. Folks, I tell you, we are promoting rebellion. I mean, there was a saying that came out not very long ago, and this is what it says. It says, challenge all authority. The greatest faith in the world is to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes that comes in the form of another human being. Sometimes we have to submit to other human beings. We have to just say, yes, sir, I may not agree with you, but I'm submitted to you because you have authority over my life. I like to watch cop shows. That's just who I am. I like to watch them. I like to watch dumb criminals that just decide that they're not going to submit to the law enforcement officers. And pretty soon they're hogtied and gagged and upside down in the trunk of the car. Are y'all there with me? Because I'm telling you something, these cops can make you submit. A high school friend of mine one time, I was riding with my dad, and my dad stopped him. He was drunk. He said, you're not going to arrest me. You're not going to arrest me. You're not going to put me in jail. Next thing I knew, he was stripped down naked in a rubber cell in there in the corner. Well, I guess you couldn't cry because it was pretty round. But he was sitting and crying, begging them to let him out. Are y'all there? He finally sobered up a little bit. But you know what? No matter what he told them, he still did what they told him to do because they made him. Let me just say this. Jesus ain't going to make you do anything. It is going to be your choice to submit to his authority. But without walking in his authority, you will never have his power. He is Lord, and we should obey his commands. You may say, Pastor, you're teaching real hard stuff this morning. I don't know about that. Let me just tell you something. If you don't pay your tithes, you're not submitted to Jesus Christ. That's one of the first places he goes for is your wallet. You say, well, you know, I can't pay my tithes. Folks, then you're not submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, Pastor, you're really teaching hard stuff today. I don't like this. I shouldn't have come. This is Mother's Day. You're supposed to teach something real sweet about mothers. We did a video, and it was good. Okay? Folks, do you know why I'm teaching this? Because I want you to win. I don't want you in my office 6 weeks from now telling me that, man, Pastor, our marriage is crumbling. And see, I can look at you, I can look at your wife, I can look at you and I can think, oh, well, it's because he's being stupid, it's because she's being stupid. But the ultimate problem is spiritual. The enemy has put his sights on your marriage and he wants to tear it apart. And folks, if you knew how to fight, you wouldn't even need me. You could take the enemy and twist his little head off and spit in the hole. I'm sorry. Come on. I'm tired of people getting their brains kicked out. I want you to walk in victory. I want this church to walk in victory. And to do that, you and I have to establish the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. We got to say, listen, Jesus, you are Lord. I'm doing what you tell me to do. Amen. Number three, we not only have to be submitted, but we got to be aggressive. We got to be aggressive. You go, what do you mean? The power of God is given to those who claim new ground. God empowers those to dare to move forward, not to those that just want to protect themselves. See, he's given us an offensive weapon called the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. He's given us that so that you and I can take ground. You go, what are you talking about, Pastor? Folks, I'll just be real honest with you. My life would be so much easier if all I had to do was watch out for what I got. But I pray for you. These kids that are on the front row, Preston sitting there wide awake. I pray for this kid. I pray for him. Emily, I pray for you, even though you are mean to me. Her phone is full of all kinds of things she's done to my picture. It's horrible. Touch not thine anointed is what the Bible says. I pray for you. I mean, I've been praying for Natalie and Dalton and Caleb for this trip for the last 4 or 5 months. I mean, seriously. I'm praying protection over their lives. I'm praying that God so gets a hold of them spiritually while they're there that it shakes them to the core of who they are, that they come back and they are changed by the power of Jehovah God. I'm not praying for them to have a good time. I'm praying for ministry to flow from these kids' lives. I'm praying for them. Are y'all understanding? I want to take new ground. And God is going to bless those people who are aggressive. The most dangerous place in Christianity is status quo. Okay, everything seems to be quiet on the home front. I'm not going to move. I'm just, Satan, are you listening? I'm just going to stand right here, not going to move. This church is fixing to go through a change. It's going to go through a metamorphosis. I got a team of people that are working with me, 12 individuals that have said, Pastor, we want to go with you on this journey. We've been going back and forth to Asheville for the last few months, and we're not finished yet. I come back from Asheville and my stomach hurts because the guy who's teaching just kicks me over and over and over. But we're going to go through a metamorphosis. And I'm believing that those pews that you're sitting in that don't have anybody else sitting in them, I'm praying that them pews start to fill up with people that are gangbangers and people that got tattoos up and down their body, earrings stuck in places that you shouldn't put earrings in. I'm praying for the dregs of society to begin to get saved and filled with the power of the living God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit and see their lives so radically transformed that it changes the community in Jesus' name. But I'm going to tell you something. We're not ever going to get there if you and I just decide status quo is all right. We've got just enough people here, seriously, that the air conditioners can keep up with it. You realize if we pack this sanctuary out, the air conditioners won't be able to keep up with it. You guys will be in here fanning. Because I'm telling you, man, you put about 200 people in this room and all that body heat's going everywhere. Man, for heaven's sake, Ron, you may have a pew that's so full that you're sitting next to somebody that you don't even know. I sat next to a man flying from Atlanta to El Paso, and he had a red stripe and a red stripe and a white stripe in the middle. And he was some holy man for another religion, but he could not speak a word of English. He read a book the whole time I was there, and I promise you that book did not say nothing. I looked at it. Didn't say nothing. We could get people in this room that we don't ever know. I'd never met this guy before in my life. We get people in this room that have been in jail. felons, gay people. Oh, send them. But we ain't never going to have them unless we determine to get aggressive with Satan. Because I'm going to tell you something. Satan has them right now in his hand, and he has got a hold on them. But whenever we take a hold of his hand and begin to try to pry his fingers one by one away, kid you not, folks, you better be prepared. You better know the authority of Jesus Christ that you live under, because he'll destroy this church. He'll destroy this church if we begin to be aggressive and we're not prepared, if we're not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. In the next few months, I believe we're going to get aggressive. I'm sorry, my notes are of no use this morning. If we're going to be aggressive, we've got to learn how to use the offensive weapon that Jesus Christ has given us, the Word of God. One of the most simple things that I ever taught kids whenever I taught children's ministry was to use the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, whenever the enemy came to the room late at night and said, "There's somebody under your bed. And the minute you go to sleep, there's going to be this big old hairy arm come out and grab you and suck your brain out of your head." Listen, man, I thought whenever I was growing up, I thought there was a little bitty pinhole in my window. Somebody had shot it in there with a BB gun. It wasn't me, but there was a pinhole through there. And I thought that any size monster whatsoever could get through that little pinhole. I really did. And my brothers didn't do anything to help. They said, "Yeah, he's coming in. He's going to be here. He's going to get you. We're in the room next door. We'll probably never even hear it because we're sound sleepers. They're going to eat you up and you'll be gone." I love my brothers. I'd lay in that bed so scared at nights, man. I just figured if I had the covers over me, they couldn't eat all of me. Just that little part that was exposed, that nose that you had to breathe, you know. And I thought, man, I could go through life without a nose. But, man, I just don't want to be eaten. And so I taught the kids. I said, "Listen, man, whenever he comes to your room and he knocks and he says, 'Man, there's something in the closet. There's something under your bed.' I said, use the Word of God on him. I said, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pull it out of your scabbard. And say, 'The Lord has not given me the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. The Lord has given angels charge over my life.' They're here in this room, and there ain't no hairy monster going to defeat the angels that God sent to protect me." And then I said, "Whenever you use the sword of the Spirit, this is what you do. You poke the devil right in the hunkarookus." We got to be able to use that weapon. Number four. We got to use the right weapons, the spiritual weapons. The way that we're going to win is not by flesh. It isn't through the courts. It isn't through changing the laws. It's going to be on our knees as the body of Christ. We're going to win this nation with spiritual weapons. Spiritual weapons. In 2 Corinthians 2, it says this: "The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, Miss Robin, the power of prayer, the Word of God. These are weapons that have been given to us. And we got to know these weapons. We got to use these weapons. And whenever we use these weapons and know these weapons, we're going to walk in victory. Victory is definite. I love that. I'd love to be able to say, "We will win in Jesus' name. I have the blood of Jesus." Is there anything more powerful than that? No. I have the power of prayer. My life connecting to the ultimate God of this universe and tapping into His power. He said, "If you ask, I will give you." Woo! I have the Word of God, which whenever I speak it, it's sharp as a two-edged sword. It goes forth and it cuts, folks. So, whenever I'm able to use these weapons, to know these weapons, victory is definite. Number five, we got to be able to stand and resist the devil. You see, whenever you and I begin to claim the promises of God and we begin to engage the enemy, this is what I would tell you. You will meet with resistance. He's not just going to go, "Oh no, she quoted a scripture at me. I'm going home. I'm staying forever." No. It's not the way the enemy fights. You see, whenever we claim these promises and we engage the enemy, say, Satan, you are not going to have your way in my marriage any longer. It stops today. We know he's going to push back. Anytime that an individual or a church reaches higher, whenever you make an effort to claim the promises of God, whenever you do that, you will be challenged by the enemy. The enemy's not going to let you go easy. He's going to challenge your faith. He's going to challenge your commitment. Oftentimes, the greatest attack is after a new commitment. Folks, if you don't think that it's hard to be a brand new born-again Christian, you are kidding yourself. Whenever somebody stands up and says yes to Jesus Christ and they accept Jesus as personal Savior and all of a sudden they're born again, Satan comes after them like a flood, folks. That's why we pray for new Christians. That's why when everybody gets born again, we pray for them. We cover them. I mean, man, I've been around new Christians that have called me up and said, listen, I'm not sure if I want to be a new Christian or not. Everything was going along just fine until I accepted Jesus Christ 3 weeks ago at your church. And now my washing machine's broke, tire blew out on my car, dog ate my furniture. I'm serious. So my dog has never even wanted to eat my furniture, and he ate the whole couch last week. We got to stand and resist the devil. We cannot be flip-floppers. Whenever we say, I'm taking authority over my finances, over my marriage, over my health, we cannot be flip-floppers. Bible says in Galatians 6:1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again into the yoke of bondage. Number six, we got to tap into the power of praise. This is the last one. We got to tap into the power of praise. We got to learn how to stand against the devil. We got to learn to prepare ourselves. But folks, this is perhaps one of the most important things, but often the most overlooked things. I'm fighting the devil. I'm going to kick him. I got the word. I got the blood. I got the power of prayer, and I'm going after him. And many times we forget what power there is in praising God. I can remember one time years ago in my walk with the Lord, I needed a whole lot of things from the Lord. Especially this one thing. I needed him to do something. And man, I did everything. I begged him. I pleaded with him. I prayed. I fasted. I did all kinds of things, man. I just, Lord, you got to do this, got to do this, got to do this, got to do this. And man, I got to a place where, now, please understand, I have matured a lot since that moment. Okay, so nobody in here looked down on me. But I came to a place where literally I thought whining might work. I started like this and said, God, I don't even think you've heard me. I've prayed 1,000 times and you don't even hear me anymore. In fact, I don't even think you like me. I know you don't like my family. It wasn't quite that bad, but it was close. So I'm sitting on the front pew of the sanctuary, early morning prayer, probably 5:30 in the morning. And this is what the Lord spoke to me. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was next to it. You understand? I mean, I knew it was God. He said, listen to me. More things will come to you through praise than any other avenue. You've asked me for it. Now praise me for it. And so I'm sitting there thinking, okay. I'm going to tell you something. That was hard. I mean, the Lord just like. And so I just started praising him. I just started, okay, Lord, I'll do what you tell me to do. I just started praising him. 3 days later, I had the answer to that prayer. 3 days later, I had the answer to that prayer. And I'm telling you, this was one of those miracle prayers. I'm telling you, this was where you go, whoa, God did a miracle for me. 3 days went by, and I had the answer to that prayer. Praise is uplifting, and praise done in the power of God will set captives free. Here's a scripture for you. He inhabits the whining of his people. That's in Hezekiah 12:2. No. Here's the way it's really written. He inhabits the bickering of his people. No. Y'all know it. The Bible tells us that he inhabits the praises of his people. You see, Can I give you a must-do? You know, there's some lists that people give you, and they say, you know, it's a can-do. You can do it if you want to, but this is one of those must-dos. We have to offer Him praise whenever we least feel like offer Him praise. There's some days I get up and I'm just ready to praise the Lord. I'm going, yeah, baby. I slept 5 hours last night. I'm, whoa. Ready to go. And there's some days I get up and I go, just shoot me. Just take me out somewhere and shoot me. And there's a story in the Bible, Paul and Silas. They got the tar beat out of them, man. They were witnessing for Jesus, basically. They were just doing what Jesus told them. Paul and Silas, they just got beat unmercifully. I mean, unmercifully. Stuck back in the back hole of a prison. And you have to understand, they didn't have TV and coffee makers in this prison. This place was a dungeon. I mean, it's nasty. It's dirty. And the Bible tells us about midnight, Paul and Silas, you know, they're going, look at my back where they beat me. And Paul says, mine's worse. I'm bigger than you are. And no, that's not what the Bible said they were doing. About midnight, it says that Paul and Silas began to praise the Lord. And this is what I got to know. I'm thinking that Paul and Silas felt like praising the Lord. I imagine that Silas looked over and said, hey, Paul, feel like praising the Lord right now? Paul goes, well, of course I do. Let me just pick this scab on my back real quick and I'll be right there. Y'all with me? Paul and Silas did not feel like praising the Lord. They probably felt like they needed medical attention. Are y'all there? But instead, the Bible tells us that they began to sing and praise the Lord. The other prisoners are like waking up going, what is that sound? Paul and Silas began to praise the Lord. And this is what happened. The prison opened up. All the doors of the prison opened up. The chains that were on their arms, they fell off. The chains that were on their feet, they fell off. Not only of Paul and Silas, but all the prisoners. Are y'all getting where I'm going? You see, you and I can set the captive free by worshiping and praising God. There is power in praise. Satan cannot stand a people who stand on God's word and they lift their hearts and worship Him. You see, praise literally binds the power of evil. I dealt with a situation one time where a daughter was conjuring up demonic forces in her mom and dad's house. I mean, swear, scared the liver out of me. Man came and he talked to me. He said, listen, I had a demon come to my house last night. I go, yeah, whatever. You know, probably demon came to your house, you know. Went there and I'm telling you, it was real. It was real. And you know, we prayed, obviously, anointed his home with oil and we prayed. But you know what I told him? I said, you need to keep praise music going in this house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Do not turn it off. And I said, you and your wife need to be about praising the Lord. Anytime that you are awake, you need to be singing with those praise songs. And you need to shoot your daughter. So anyway, okay, no, I didn't say that. Y'all understand? I mean, Satan, whenever we begin to praise in this place, I'll tell you, he just gets uncomfortable and leaves. He cannot take praise that is spirit-led praise. He can take all the song singing that we can do. Are y'all there with me? Because we can sing songs till our heads fall off. But I'm talking whenever people genuinely start to praise God. He cannot stand that. And so this morning, is it Dana, you coming to play for me? Is Dana? She's going to come and help me close. And this is just what I want to close with. We, as believers, can make a couple of decisions in our lives. We can either be a warrior, because that's what this is all about. It's your identity in Jesus Christ. It's about you being a warrior. He has created you to be a warrior. He has created you to win every time the enemy comes against your life. You can either be a warrior or you can be a captive. That's your choice. You go, I don't really want to be a captive. You see, if you're a captive, you are in conflict. You haven't given up on God, but you feel like that you're in chains. You're held captive. Your spirit is darkened. You no longer have that joy. Your faith, you no longer have that faith. There's a heaviness there. You give in very easily to temptation. You're constantly under bondage. You're constantly in one mess or another. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 4, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. In John 8, it says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You can be a captive, but you can also be wounded. Man, we've got so many people that are wounded in the body of Christ today. They're afraid of spiritual conflict because they've been hurt by somebody. It's like having a sunburn on your back. And you come to church and people didn't know you've been at the beach all week. And they come up and saying, how you doing today? And you go, oh, I'll answer that later. You see, that's what it's like whenever you're wounded. You're easily offended. You're sensitive. You run too quick. Whenever you're wounded, you cry too much and you're negative too much. And that negativity becomes a protection for you. But let me just make sure we all understand this. Jesus has come to bind up the wounds and to heal the hurting. Basically, where I'm at with this is you and I can either be a casualty or we can be a victor. Because we're all in this war, folks. And whenever it's all said and done, there's going to be a group of people that line up and say, we were casualties. The enemy did this to my family. The enemy did this to my finance. The enemy did this to my health. Are y'all there? And then there's going to be another group of people that line up and say, yeah, the enemy tried, but I have the power of God that lives in the inside of me. Greater is that power that's in me that's in the world. Greater is He that is inside of me to make me a victor through life, make me a fighter through life. And the enemy has no way he is going to defeat the power of Jesus Christ in you. Can't do it. It's impossible. So this morning, a casualty or a victor? This is what I will tell you. The Lord wants you to understand that the identity of who you are is this. If you've had a John chapter 3 experience, you are a child of the Most High God. You are a king's kid, man. I have a hard time wrapping my brain around that, seriously. Read about Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, or something like that, and how David invited him into the very table of the king and said, sit down, man, you're just like my son Absalom. You belong here. That's a picture of where we're at. That's our identity. We're children of God. But our identity doesn't stop there. Our identity is that we are warriors. We can fight and we can win. If we take some steps in our lives, prepare ourselves, submit ourselves, be aggressive. Don't just lay back and take it. Be aggressive. Stand with me if you would. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, we understand and know your word, Father God, screams to us this morning, Lord. Because, Father, in the same way that I'm tired of seeing so many shipwrecks, Father God, so many young people, so many elderly people, and everybody in between, Father, that have been dashed against the rocks of life, that the waves have beat them and beat them and beat them, Father, I know you're tired of it as well. You're tired of seeing your people. You're tired of seeing men and women of God. You're tired of seeing couples, Lord God, that have said, I do to one another. And now, Lord, they don't because the enemy has run amok in their marriage. Father, you're tired of seeing finances that have been destroyed by the power of the enemy. And Father, this morning, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I believe with everything that's in me as you are bringing us into a greater understanding of who we are in Christ. Yes, we are sons and daughters, but we are also warriors. And Father, I pray, Lord God, in these next few weeks and months, as your word comes into us, Lord, as we commit ourselves to study and to prepare, and Father, as we commit ourselves to follow after you, to submit to your lordship, Father, we'll see the power of Jesus Christ rise in us, and we will see the defeat of Satan in so many areas of our lives. We ask it and believe for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.